In the words of the people of Israel when they were brought across the sea, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation." As our God, let us return the praise to him by turning to sing in Psalm 138, the traditional version, page 431. We sing the verses that we find on that page, verses 1 to 5, Psalm 138. "Thee will I praise with all my heart. I will sing praise to thee before the gods, and worship will toward thy sanctuary." A psalm of praise to our God, who is truly great, and as these verses remind us, rich in his grace to men. Psalm 138, we'll stand to sing verses 1 to 5, and stay standing after that to pray together.
"Thee will I praise with all my heart, I will sing praise to thee before a God, and worship will toward thy sanctuary. I'll praise thy name for thy truth and kindness of thy love. For thou thy word hast magnified all thy great name above. Thou didst so answer in the day when I did rightly cry, and thou my fainting soul
together. And we are thankful, O Lord, that we can pray, that we have such a God to pray to, that we too might lift praises and our cry, and knowing that you are righteous, that you are unchanging and true in all things, that we will receive an answer that is fitting and an answer that is to your glory. For, O Lord, it is this that is the great fulfillment for our lives too. And we ask that you would be our guide, that in all things we will serve your honor, your praise, and your blessing. We do thank you, O Lord, that in such abundant ways, such rich, effective, powerful ways, you do deliver your people. That not only do you begin a work, but you complete it to the end. Even as with the ancient people of Israel, not only to bring them out of the land of bondage, but to take them through and to watch over them in every course of their steps, and to bring them into a new land, that place of rest. We give thanks, O Lord, for that confidence that we can have, that where you have spoken, will you not do it? You are indeed righteous and faithful, even to the end. We give thanks above all. Indeed, we praise you, Lord, because you have given such an assurance of these things by the gift of your own Son, that in him you have affirmed every promise. And so we pray that as we hear your word, day by day and week by week, that we will know that this word is unchanging. Even though those most established of things in the world in which we live may themselves crumble and fall, your word will not pass away. And we praise you, Lord, and we do cast ourselves upon you, because you have promised to forgive all who would come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, who would confess sin and seek your pardon. And by that forgiveness, that we might be accepted in your presence in his name. And so we would pray in his name this evening, that we will each know that, and that we will be found acceptable before you for his name's sake. We do pray that you would continue a work in us, and may your word be effective upon us and in us today especially, and in days to come, that we will be turning in our hearts, in our lives, to be given over all the more to your service and to your glory, to the ways that are of righteousness. We do pray now that you would equip us by this act of worship, that it will be such that we are reminded that you are the one true and living God, that we are your servants, and that this would be the spirit in which we go on from here, and that accordingly we will be able and willing, pleased to do your will, that would be our own delight too. We ask that you would hear us now, do indeed pardon our sin, take it from us, we ask, keep us from distraction, and may our hearts be set searching for you. May our cry rise up before you, O God. May it be out of the depths of our hearts that you would supply, where there is hunger, that we might be fed, where there is thirst, that we might be satisfied, and that will be the earnestness of our spirit as we come before you this evening. In all things, work your glory, we pray, and we ask all for the sake of our Lord Jesus and in his name. Amen. Let us turn for our first Bible reading this evening. It's in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and we'll read the whole psalm. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise, and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame, who seek my hurt. So far we hear God's word. May we hear with understanding and return the honor to him. Let us turn to sing together again in Psalm 28. Psalm 28 on page 33. And we'll sing the first two stanzas and the last three. So that's the verses marked 1 and 2, and then verses 6 through to 9. Five stanzas altogether. Verses 1 and 2, and then 6 to 9. To you I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not be deaf to my loud cry. I'll be like those gone down to death if you are silent in reply. Receive my plea for mercy, Lord, as now I call to you for grace, as I lift up my hands in prayer and look to your most holy place. And then again from verse 6, praise to the Lord, for he has heard the plea for mercy which I made, and through to the end of the psalm, reminding us of the Lord, the one who is truly trustworthy and strong, ready to hear and able to help. We'll sing these verses, Psalm 28. After that, we will be reading in the Gospel of Matthew, and I would ask Andrew to be coming forward to read this passage for us. Let us sing together.
To you I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not be deaf to my loud cry. I'll be like those gone down to death with you, but silent in reply. Receive my
on second readings in Matthew 27, verses 45 to 66, and in the Church Bible it's page 880. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone, let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the grave after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women who followed him from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Jesus had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his tomb, new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb, and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have the guards, go your way, make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guards.
Thank you, Andrew. As we've been reading in the Gospel of Matthew, continuing our readings there this evening. Let us come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Let us never become overly familiar, Lord, with your Son giving up his spirit on the cross for us. Let it bear upon us that we would flee from sin, flee to you and seek your help, your great strength and grace to resist evil, and that the words of the prayer that our Lord himself taught us might be the great persuasion of our heart, not only that we might be forgiven, but that you would lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. We pray, Lord God, that His sacrifice of himself will be that pearl of great price, that we might discard all other things, if only to have him. That we will know that even gaining the whole world pales into insignificance beside him, and that we might save our souls and find life and pursue that life in him. We thank you, Lord, for every step that you have granted us, every word that you have caused us to hear concerning him and your abundant mercy towards us in him, but that we would long for more. We will ask for those things that you would be pleased to pour out upon us with your great liberality. We know, Lord, that you have supplied so richly in so many ways, and even in the material things of this world, where there are many who are struggling in poverty and a lack of food, even the most basics of life. Cause us to be all the more thankful, we pray, and wise too, in every use we make of what you have given to us. We do pray, Lord, for those who suffer in these ways, for those who are able to go and to help, and that more and more we might see too that the standards of our society are not always what you might seek from us. And out of the abundance that you grant, that we too might help for those who are in need. We do pray for the society in which we live, as we pray this morning for a range of ways in which your word is ministered to them. We pray too for works of mercy, that in these too there might be evidence of your own spirit nurturing and ministering to the needy. We thank you, Lord, for such work as City Mission in London and other cities. And we thank you that very often they have the opportunity to, especially to speak the gospel of Christ. But where they minister to practical needs too, we ask that you would uphold them, and that there would be those necessary provisions, especially at this time of year, when there is that greater need for warmth and safety for the needy in the cities. But above all, we do seek for the provision of spiritual need in the multitudes around us, that we might recognize them through the eyes of our Lord Jesus himself, who saw them as sheep without a shepherd, looked on them with a heart of compassion. We pray for the many who have been blessed with abundance in this world's goods, but they might recognize where they come from and return the praise, the service, return life itself to your service. We ask, Lord, for your enabling and help for the government of this nation and the governments around the world. We pray especially where there are those who would seek places of power for their own sake and have used it for their own sake, that they might be humbled, brought low, and even led to a new spirit by which they would return those things that they have taken improperly. We pray for those who oppress their people and ask for a breaking through of a right spirit, that their conscience might be pricked and opened up, that they would not find rest for their souls except they turn to you in the ways of righteousness. We do ask for the people who are oppressed. We are mindful especially that there are many of your own people who suffer for their faith, for the very name of the Lord Jesus that they bear. For those who have been under attack just this past week in Baghdad once more. For those who have lost their lives and their families who mourn that loss. For the churches that have been assaulted. For your people in Egypt who continue to suffer. And other parts of the world where it's not made known, but yet in such great numbers. In North Korea, in Eritrea. We pray especially for South Sudan, where it was ostensibly a Christian nation, but there is conflict rising again. Where there are those who are truly your people, whose lives are lives of faith, that they themselves might be that light in their world, that people will see the way and know that this is the way to walk, the way of hope, the way of grace, and the way of love. We do ask, Lord, that in the midst of this world, you would enrich your church, not for our sake, but that the gospel might be strong, that it might set back the works of evil, that we might be strong ourselves in this land where perhaps on the opposition will be on the increase. And we would benefit from your word and be encouraged by those who have gone before us, who do have suffered in the face of opposition, but yet testify that you are unchanging, ever sure, the great rock and fortress, the one who is to be declared, and that in this we might know our sharing in the great inheritance of our Lord Jesus. Work in us, then, we pray. Strengthen us as we anticipate setting out into a new year shortly. That this will be seen by us as an opportunity, not for ourselves, but that we would honour our God and bear witness to you. We ask these things and pray that even in this you would pardon those things that are of ourselves, that in all things we might bring honour to your name. And asking in Jesus' name, for his sake, and in him with the pardon of sin. Amen. Just before we turn and open God's word together to meditate there, let us turn once more to sing again, and we take Psalm 18, 1-8, Psalm 18, and it's on page 19, and we'll sing the first four stanzas. That's the verses marked 1 through to 6. Isn't this a wonderful psalm? There are not many like it, but many call us to praise the Lord. This one says, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The fortress is the Lord to me, my rock and my deliverer. For refuge to my God, I flee. He is my stronghold and my shield, the Lord who saves me by his might. And we'll sing through to the verse mark 6. Let's stand again to sing together to God's praise.
I love you, Lord, you are my strength, a fortress in the Lord. My refuge to my
Would you open with me to Psalm 71? And perhaps by way of a text this evening, a verse, a reference that captures a great deal of what the psalmist is saying is verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. As you look at this psalm, you see a man telling of troubles that he faces, troubles very like yours and mine, whether in the past or the present or perhaps still to come. But he's a man who is trained and practiced trusting in the Lord. I remember one day, quite some years ago, watching as two men were doing a carpentry job. And one of the men he was the labourer, and he was sawing through a large board of wood. This type of wood, it was much bigger than this, and he was trying to cut through this. It was perched on benches and so on, with a handsaw. And he was working away vigorously and not getting very far very quickly. And the other man, who was my friend, an older man, he was actually a trained carpenter and joiner. And so the first man had managed to get about halfway through, and the second, the older man, he took the saw and he knelt in the right place. He got the saw, and in slow, steady strokes, he cut through that like a hot knife through butter, and it was done in no time at all. That was a man who had trained and was practiced in the task. And just looking at, watching him, I learned a great deal in just those few moments. How simple it was, but getting the essentials right. And we look at this psalmist as he tells us of how he goes about trusting in the Lord. We can learn a lot from him in just these few words. Those simple things, but the essentials. And just to take you quickly through the psalm, to highlight a number of things that we have here, which I would summarize like this. There is, first of all, what we might call a prayer in confidence, then an expression of praise in trust. Then he tells us of his peace in salvation. And finally, the purpose that he has for the Lord. These would be the things that I would emphasize as we look through what he has to say in this psalm. First of all, prayer in confidence. Second, praise in trust. Peace in salvation, and his purpose for the Lord, or even in the Lord. Prayer in confidence, first of all, and I'm looking here, really, at verses 1 through to 4. These are in terms of prayer. He's crying out to God, in you, O Lord. He's speaking directly to the Lord. He does that a number of times through the rest of the psalm as well. But this is his opening. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. And then he, in his call to God to deliver him in verse 2, be my strong habitation in verse 3, and again in verse 4, deliver me, O my God. It's a prayer for God's help, for God's security. That God would deliver him, would be his strong habitation, his rock, his fortress. As we read on through the psalm, in just a few moments, and in verse 4, we see that he's troubled by his enemies. And we would think that in the Old Testament days, it was very probably enemies of Israel that you could see, that you could hear, armed men. But it also applies to the devil and his servants, the enemies of God's people. And in the face of enemies, he knows that it's the Lord that he should rely on. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. But there is also indications that he is already kept by the Lord. He calls on the Lord that the Lord from here on would keep him, because he is already kept by the Lord. In verse 3, "You are my rock and my fortress." Not only does he cry out for God's help, but he testifies to God's help. He has confidence that God is the place where he can turn, where he must turn. If God is his rock and his fortress, and he needs a rock and fortress, he must turn to the Lord. And what an excellent combination we have here. What an example, what a pattern we have set before us for our prayers too. That he's praying, not presuming, he's pleading with God that God would help him. Jesus tells us that even the basics of life, our Father in heaven knows that we need these things before we ask. And surely God knows that this man who would seek to put his trust in him, this man needs his help, God's help. God knows that. But yet, he prays, and he prays. He repeatedly prays in different ways, different expressions. He's crying out to the Lord to deliver, to keep him. He's praying, not presuming. But he's also trusting, not demanding more evidence. When he prays, he's not asking God to prove himself. He's not asking God to say, "How do I know that you'll be sure? You've been sure, yes, but how do I know you'll still be sure?" He doesn't need to do that. He does trust. His prayer is not of that kind. His prayer is simply that God will go on hearing. And it's because of that that we have that expression in verse 16 that I've offered as a text. It's because of that that it does come to that place and he says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." That expression of confidence, and it is the character of his prayer. I'm just going to go through the psalm very quickly, because next we recognize his expression of praise in trust. Now, perhaps trust and confidence, you might say, this, what's the difference? Maybe not a great deal. There's something very similar in both of them. But I'm connecting it with his expressions of praise. His praise is a trusting praise as well. His praise is because of his confidence. First he prays, then he offers his praise. He offers his prayers and then his praise, his exaltation of God, lifting up of God in his glory. He praises God by referring to his past experience. In verse 5 he says, "You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from my birth." He refers to his past experience, which is enough to assure him of future provision. God is the one who has helped him thus far. And so he goes on in putting his trust in the Lord. It reminds me of Proverbs, where Proverbs says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That's what this man is doing. He's grown up trusting in the Lord. He's grown up knowing and being able to recognize where God has been at work in his life. And so he says, "Well, if God has done all this, why should I turn anywhere else? It's the same God that I continue to put my hope in. Because he's upheld me from my birth. Who else can do that?" In any case, he is able to look on God's hand in his life from his youth, verse 5, from his birth even, from verse 6. "And you are he who took me out of my mother's womb." Isn't that an expression, a reminder at that point in any of our lives of greatest vulnerability? The Lord was active, holding him. He's learnt to see that. And therefore, this is the one that he will put his trust in. So it has been through his life. We find that he is an old man by this time. There's a couple of references further on in the psalm. Verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. In verse 18, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, do not forsake me. He's spent time, he's practiced trusting in God. He's practiced recognizing God's care over him from his birth, through his youth, through to his old age. And he bears witness to that, to you and to me, tonight, again. As God has helped him, he puts his trust in him, but he also turns and gives his praise. In verse 8, the continuation of what he has just said, in verse 6 as well, my praise shall be continually of you. Into verse 8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. That's the only fitting response, to praise God. And remember, there is something of a distinction between praise and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is we can be very inclined to become very selfish in that. We can be inclined to just focus on what God has done for me. It is the way in, very often, the way in to recognize who God is. And praise is the only response that we can give when we find who God is. And the psalmist is praising. The psalmist is being led from God's care of him to say who God is, and God as the one who is utterly trustworthy, the one who is worthy of this glory and honor. And so we have that capsule of verse 16. He will go in the strength of the Lord, but his purpose in going on in that strength is not just to be able to accomplish what he feels he ought to accomplish, but the second part of that verse, I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Not mine, not anybody else's, but yours, God's, the Lord's righteousness. His great purpose in endeavoring to go on in his life as an old man, to do that in the strength of the Lord, his purpose is that he will be able to tell of God's righteousness, of God as the righteous one. It's because God is the righteous one that the psalmist and we must trust in the Lord. His righteousness reminds us that he is the one who doesn't waver, he doesn't change. He is true. And these things are wrapped up in what the psalmist is saying here, Psalm 71. It's because God is righteous that we have confidence in him, and we can put our trust in him. We must pray to him, and we must offer our praise. I think we can also see something of his peace in his salvation, which again is rooted in that same knowledge of the Lord. From verse 9 through to verse 15, really, we have, remember, this old man writing. He's been there. He's done that. He's going back again. He's going to do it again. This is the way he's going to go on through life. He's learnt by hard experience. He's facing hard experience right now. In 2 Peter 1, we read a few verses this morning as we closed, and to that faith add a number of things, including perseverance, holding on to the Lord. Now in his old age, since youth, he is with the Lord just as well, because in verses 9 through to 13 he speaks about his enemies. It's quite a long section talking about those who are opposed to him, and it is on account of his faith. In verse 11, they know that he is one who testifies that God is with him. They are taunting him as the passers-by did with Jesus on the cross. God has forsaken him. And if God has forsaken him, pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. He was known, his character known to men was that he was God's man. But there were obviously things that they misinterpreted, that it looked as though God had forsaken him. Perhaps like the friends so-called of Job, who thought God had left him. But it would indicate that it was especially on account of his faith that he faced these enemies. What does he do? Does he let go of his faith? What will it be like for us in these next 12 months? Things are changing in our society. There's an opposition to Christian faith. When it stands on the foundation of Scripture. But when it's tough, as a Christian, for the sake of the gospel and the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's watch this one who is trained and practiced through many years. And he says, that's not the way I'm going. I'm not letting go of this God. There is no one like him. As verse 16 says, this God is righteous. He's under test from verses 9 to 13. There are many enemies. There are those who seek his hurt. He does pray that they would be confounded and consumed. But he doesn't let up. He says in verse 14, but I will hope continually. There's no let up in the opposition. There's certainly no let up in the hope. Faith marks him. He's under targeting because of it. What's his answer? I will praise you yet more and more, in verse 14. I wonder what the rugby coach would say when there's a good defence stops you in every attack. What do you do? Do you forget about attacking? Surely not. There's this opposition trying to stop us in our walk of faith. What did you stop that walk of faith? You press on. I will praise you yet more and more. The very thing that's bringing this opposition against him is his answer to that opposition. In every affliction, he knows that strength of verse 16. He's known it thus far unto old age. That's what he's going to go on in. I will praise you yet more and more, verse 14. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. It's because he has known God's salvation that he is strong, and that in the midst of opposition he has this peace, this hope, this persuasion to go on praising and telling of God's righteousness. What's the answer to that opposition? Is to go on talking to one another, to yourself, and to others. Talking, telling, praising God's righteousness, his qualities, his gifts, his salvation. Remember these things. Strengthen one another. I wonder if sometimes isn't 7 days almost too long to be apart when we're in a world that would despise this God. We need to help one another by talking about this God. That's what this psalmist is doing. We'll come in just a moment to his purpose, which is all the more of that as well. But I do love the way that he tells us in verse 15, I'm going to tell of your righteousness. Let me take you back to verse 14. I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. Why? Because I don't yet know their limits. There's still so much more beyond me. I'm going to keep on. I only know a little bit about these things. Do I know any more than he did? No, surely not. Do you know any more than he did? Surely not. Well, let's go on talking. Let's go on discovering. Let's go on reaffirming that this God is the righteous one. And his salvation is good. His salvation is strong. And even where there are those who would mock, who would lie in wait, this God will not forsake us because he is righteous. And that's where I come to his great purpose for the Lord. We would probably expect that we have another day in front of us, each of us, maybe tomorrow, Monday. We would anticipate that we have another year. We're making our plans. We have our diaries filling, our schedules and so on. How will we go into that year? Will we have the strength for that year? Here's a man who has come to old age, who's spent many years, and he is looking forward as well. And it's as though he's asked himself the question, how am I going to take the next step? How am I going to meet the next day? How am I going to go into the next year of my life? And he says, I'm going to go in the strength of the Lord God. Why does he say that? Because there were people around him then who needed to hear. There are people through many years since who need to hear. And to say, well, isn't that the way I should go too? In the strength of the Lord. And that's good. How else can we go through life? But by the strength of the Lord God. We've talked about him, we've sung about him, who has done marvelous things, not just for individuals, but for nations and for the world itself. And he will give us his strength. But the psalmist reminds us of something vitally important in that respect. Because we should be asking ourselves the question, well, if we are looking for the strength of the Lord God, the Almighty, to help us through our lives, what are we going to do with it? Why should he give us his strength? Why should he come with us and enable us? Why does Jesus call us to share in his easy yoke, to be bound together with him? And it's easy because he is strong. This old man, it's all very well that he's expecting or wanting to live for some time yet. In that life, does he have a right to ask God to help him? He has an answer for that. He says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. But he doesn't stop there. It's not just for him. It's so that he will be equipped to do something. And that's where the second part of verse 16 takes us, and right through to the end of the psalm virtually. What does he want the strength of the Lord God for? So that he is able to make mention of the Lord's righteousness, only God's. Verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day, what do I do with that? I declare your wondrous works. Verse 18, now I'm old and grey-headed. Don't forsake me, Lord, because many might forsake the old and the grey-headed. Don't forsake me. Why not? Because I still need time. I want time to be able to declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. I have a purpose. And it's all about you, Lord, about giving you the glory, putting your name and your righteousness and all that belongs to you, putting it in front of others who also need to hear. In verse 20, you have shown me great and severe troubles. You will revive me again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. So what am I going to do with that? Verse 22, with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you and my soul which you have redeemed. I will go on. I will go into the next hour, the next day, maybe the next year, in the strength of the Lord, because I have something to do in life, and that is to make mention of the righteousness of the Lord, to declare His wondrous works, because He's a wonderful God. It's been His habit, His practice. He can't stop. From my youth and to this day, verse 17, I declare your wondrous works. Because the Lord is his strength. Jesus said, He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But he continues, For without me you can do nothing. What do we need the Lord Jesus for? What do we want him for? What kind of thing do we want to do? Abiding in him and he in us is about bearing fruit for him, for his glory. The fruit of the Spirit in our own lives, fruit in the lives of others too. Just taking this brief glimpse at this psalm, and there's a few days to go yet before our calendars turn over. How are you proposing to enter the new year? How am I proposing to enter the new year? Great plans ahead? Hopes? Puzzles? Uncertainties perhaps? The things that you might be inclined to do need resources of one kind or another. Do you remember Solomon when he set out on a new task, a great task? And the one thing he asked from God, which pleased God, was, Give you to your servant an understanding heart. For who is able, he said, to judge this great people? But the things that you seek from God, the understanding heart, the strength, the refuge, the strong habitation, the deliverance, those things, God knows too what the desire of our heart is to do with the things that we seek. If you say, I will go in the strength of the Lord God, that's what we say. What will you do if you should receive that strength? What does God redeem you for? What does God deliver you for? Let us each, and we need to do it together too. Let us go in the strength of the Lord. But like the psalmist, fully intending in that strength to devote ourselves to mentioning his righteousness, only his. Telling, declaring of his wondrous works. Of his power to everyone who is to come, recognizing and acknowledging his comfort, verse 21, praising him, the Lord, and his faithfulness, verse 22, confessing him as the Holy One of Israel, verse 22 again, and bearing witness that He has redeemed your soul, His great redemption. There is nothing so great as the salvation of our God in Christ Jesus. He didn't even have that, but yet His life was given over to bearing witness to God. And there's little enough of it in our society. Throughout the world, there's a need for this witness in truth. As we set out in this new year in the next few days. Let's ask ourselves, what is the purpose of our lives? Where do we get it from? Where does it lead to? May I give you this as a guide that will be good for every one of us, that we too will go in the strength of the Lord God in everything making mention of His righteousness, only His. May the Lord bless His word among us this evening. As the psalmist has borne witness to his trust and faith in his God, as we have read it, let us do so also in somewhat different words, but bearing witness to the truth of his word in the words that we know as the Apostles' Creed, that we might make this profession together this evening. The words are on page 4, left column, then right column, and I will lead, but do please join in, that we share together in confessing our faith in the one true and living God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now pray together. Do grant, O Lord our God, that You speak to our hearts this evening, that Your word will be a seed that takes root within us, to remain in our hearts and minds, and that we would respond following Your direction, keeping Your commandments, demonstrating that You do indeed abide in us, that we should bring forth such fruit that is to Your praise in our lives, in our words, that others also might hear a witness to Your mercies in Christ Jesus. We pray that You would nourish us in faith and Your certain hope, that we too will hope continually, that we might live out Your spirit in love, both to You and to our neighbor. And that by obedience to You and Your revealed will, that in this too we would declare Your glory to all. We pray that as we step out from here and go about the lives that You have set before us, that we will take what You have set, put all other things aside, and that in this we would be able to walk in a well-founded assurance. And that prayer will be fulfilled, that Your will is done on earth as in heaven. And even now to have that taste of what is to come, and long and look for, and work towards the day when we might live with You forever. Preserve us, we pray, O Lord. Take us upon our ways, that they will be according to Your pleasure and Your eternal purpose. We ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Savior. and in him do pardon sin. Amen. We might say that we're drawing another year to a close in such fellowship as this. Let us do so to the praise of God. We'll take the last of the Psalms, Psalm 150, and we'll take the second version that you find on page 196. We'll sing the whole psalm, let it be to the praises of our God. Praise God in his holy temple. Praise the Lord in heaven's high. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his majesty. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him for his majesty. Through the whole psalm, Psalm 150, version B, let's stand and remain standing after that for the Lord's blessing.
Praise God in his holy temple, praise the Lord in heaven's high, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his majesty, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him for his majesty.
Keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.